is 4:01. I will begin. It is January 5th, 2021. Happy New Year. I will begin this Thompson Springs Special Service Fire District Administrative Control Board special meeting. The meeting is being held virtually on Zoom. Our commissioners that we have present are Tricia Dean, Mary McGann, Jacques Hadler, did I say it right? Gabriel Wojtek, Evan Clapper, and Kevin Walker. For our and we also have the elected official, our clerk auditor, Quinn Hall, our county administrators, Mallory Nassau and Chris Baird. And that is the members that, and we have Renee Baker as far as staff. She is our human resource director. We are on Zoom. If you wish to dial in, it's 669-900-6833, 867-1625-2356, password 279317. To begin with, the first order of business is citizens to be heard. Do we have any citizens to be heard for the Thompson Springs Special Fire Service? Do we? I'm assuming that means no. So we are on approval of minutes for December 15th, 2020. Do I have a motion? Kevin?
I'll move that we approve the minutes for December
15th. 2020. Second. Seconded by, who seconded? Was that you, Evan?
Yes.
Okay. Motion by Kevin Walker, seconded by Evan Clapper. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Aye. Say aye. Raise your hand.
Elaine Gessler.
And all opposed?
Hey, how are you?
Elaine, you have to mute your phone, mute your computer, please. Motion passes unanimously. We are to electing chair, secretary, and treasurer. Traditionally, does anybody have a nomination? Tara always does the minutes. So the secretary's in name only. And treasurer is, you know, Chris Baird does that. So it's treasurer in name only.
Is the chair usually the same as the county commission chair or?
Traditionally, that's been the case.
Okay. And we also need a vice chair or just the treasurer and secretary?
Just chair, secretary, and treasurer. The only one that does anything really is the chair. The other two just, it's just, I guess, to follow some rule.
Okay, well, I move that we elect Mary McGann as chair and Gabriel Wojtek as treasurer and Evan Clapper as secretary.
Motion by Kevin Walker. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Tricia Dean. All in discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We are to discussion on fire hazards in the Thompson Spring, in and around Thompson Springs. Chief Markham, and I did notice that Chief T.J. Brewer was with us as well. So take it over, Markham.
All right, hello. So I asked for this special meeting of the Thompson Springs Special Service Fire District today to discuss the structure fire we had out here 2 weeks ago and to voice my concerns regarding the safety of the community as it relates to fire danger. I believe there are also a couple other people from county departments that would like to say something, if that's all right with the board.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Okay, excuse me, I'm reading off notes just so I stay in line here, but I'm not gonna go into a lot of detail about the fire. I just kind of want to try to paint you a picture of the situation that night and the current situation as it is out here in Thompson as it relates to fire. So on Tuesday night, December 2nd, approximately 7:45 p.m., I was paged to a structure fire on Bogart Lane in Thompson, right down the street from my house. As I passed the fire on the way to the station to pick up my engine, I noticed flames and smoke already showing. Now, bear in mind that a typical structure fire doubles in size every 30 seconds, and that's with no wind. And that night we had 20 to 40 mile an hour wind gusts, a constant 20 mile an hour, up to 40 mile an hour gusts due to a passing cold front. So it was already looking bad. upon arrival at the fire with my engine, it was already getting very active, and two vehicles in front of the structure were already starting to burn. Being the only qualified firefighter out here on scene, I knew that I had to become the chief, the incident commander, the pump operator, the firefighter, and also the safety officer. As all firefighters know, the first priority is life safety. So I was very relieved to verify that two adults and their dogs had gotten out of the structure, which was well involved at this time. I believe two cats did not make it out. Knowing that the people were out safely, my next goals were to put water on the fire, protect nearby structures, and watch for new fires being started by blowing embers and radiant heat. It was basically just ember shower the entire time, embers flying towards different structures, towards my house. And we didn't have any snow then, so I was really afraid that one of the other structures or the grass or something was gonna catch on fire. So I had to constantly watch for that. Getting water to the fire was made more difficult due to the high winds, access to the actual building, and a lack of firefighting personnel to help me. Two abandoned trailer homes were within 4 feet of the fire, and I knew if those caught on fire, we'd be in real trouble because it would just be a domino effect with other abandoned buildings in that area. Luckily out here, we do have fire hydrants, so that was really good. I had a couple of water board members step up and give me a water supply, help pull hose, that kind of thing, which is great, except for they're not on the fire department. They were in civilian clothes, and now they're in harm's way, so that was a real concern for me, but they did help me out at the beginning there. So I just continued to try to keep the other structures from burning while trying to put out the fires that were already, the house that was already on fire as best I could, but I just had too many challenges to be able to put out the house. We did manage to keep any other structures, well, two trailers and two vehicles burned on the main property, but the abandoned trailers that were 4 feet from the fire, we were able to keep those from going up. So that was good. It was pretty touch and go until the Moab Fire Department showed up with their first engine. Those guys got rid of it. They had a full crew. They got in there, did a great job, started making progress on the fire, and actually multiple Moab Valley Fire Department engines and personnel, as well as the chief, came out that night. We worked the fire until about midnight, 1 a.m. There were still hot spots, but we felt that it would be safe to leave the fire for the night. I did watch, keep an eye on the fire all night, just in case it did flare up again. It didn't. The next morning, Moab Valley Fire Department came out with two crews, and along with them and backhoe from the Thompson Springs Water District, were able to extinguish the fire completely. So, after that, I contacted the building department and the Grand County Building Department, and also the health department, to kind of let them know what the situation was. They kind of got busy doing what they needed to do as far as inspect the building, have someone from the health department check it out, and they actually put tape around it, so it is condemned. It's closed building now. But this is just one example of some of the issues we have out here with abandoned buildings. If the fire would have gotten to those, it was horrible that these people lost their home and pretty much all of their possessions. Thank God they got out alive. This isn't the first fire we've had like that. And with all the abandoned buildings, the property owners that don't take care of their properties, the multitude of broken down vehicles, we just have such a, what we call a fuel load of hazardous materials out here that this is not going to be the last fire like this. This could have been a lot worse. And if we don't do something to clean up the town out here, we're just looking at a powder keg. So I did talk to Orion and Bill, Orion from the health department and Bill from the building department. And they agreed that, you know, with my concerns about the dangers out here, they actually put together a community action team meeting that we had yesterday. It was over an hour long meeting. And I think it was pretty productive. We kind of listed all our concerns out here and then tried to come up with some solutions. That's going to be a work in progress. But I'm really grateful for them. It seems like there's a lot of people that are interested in helping us clean up the area out here. And but it's going to take participation from this board, the Thompson Springs Special Service Fire District Board, and also the County Council if we're going to make any progress here. So that being said, I don't know, Bill or Ryan, do you guys want to kind of take it from here?
Well, for those of you that don't know, I'm Ryan Rogers, I'm the Environmental Health Director for Southeast Utah. And I thought it was important to support Mark. Many of his concerns overlap with health department concerns, and many of the properties have both health department and fire department issues. I'm uniquely familiar with Thompson Springs because I grew up there. So, and my father still lives out there. And so I really feel like I understand many of the challenges that we'll face as we move forward. And I think that probably the most important thing to do is to partner with the community out there to help in these cleanup efforts. And just, we're just going to need, we're going to need the council and you are the council, your support in that. Some of that may be financial, but having spoken with the solid waste district today, Evan Carroll, he indicated the ability to help partner with us as well and helping with that cleanup and disposal and whatnot. I won't speak for him exactly, but Mark mentioned the community action team, and I realize some of you are new to the council. What that is comprised of is it's essentially a team comprised of the health department, fire department, building department, and the planning and zoning department. So there's numerous other issues out there. None of the lot lines match up, all these other things. So essentially we got together yesterday to start the beginnings of a conversation of how we can help the town come into compliance, not necessarily be forced into compliance, but giving the town the tools, how we can start give the town the tools they need to be able to clean up. For instance, years ago, there were annual cleanup days or a couple days where dumpsters were provided, people could throw things away. There was a means of disposal. That stopped a few years ago. I don't really know why, but you know, having some of these things in place out there after an initial major triage cleanup would certainly put the place in better shape, both for fire reasons, health reasons, housing reasons, so on and so forth. Any questions for me on any of that?
I do, Orion. When you had your meeting, I don't remember if you mentioned, did you have Monument Waste and or the Solid Waste Special Service District part of that meeting?
Not yet, but it's our intention to bring those in. I haven't spoken with Dan at Monument Waste yet, but I did speak with Evan earlier today to kind of inform him. One of the things that we discussed, and I think and Mark didn't mention it, but what we were hoping to do was pull together a meeting in the next couple of weeks, an actual on-site meeting, invite Evan and Dan, as well as a couple of the council commission members to join us out there. I believe is Tricia, are you, you're assigned to Thompson, right?
Yeah, and I just, Orion, I just put my contact information in the chat box. Okay. So if you want to, I'd love to be involved in that.
That'd be great. So yeah, we discussed inviting you to come out with us as well as yep. Mary, because Mary sits on the, you're on yep. the Solid Waste District Board, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, and then at the same time, Mark would be there. I would be there as well as Bill Holtz from the building department. And because it's one thing to say that there's problems, it's another thing to see them. And so if you would be willing, that'd be great.
Chris Baird, I have a question for you. Do you remember how much money or in lieu of time spent that the county has to spend on fire mitigation yearly?
It's about 15 or 16,000. We're pretty far. We've spent quite a bit thus far, and we're kind of covered for that match for the next 2 or 3 years, I think.
Because of the chipper?
Well, that plus other activities. I'm not exactly sure how much. That was Rick Bailey was tracking that, so not sure on the status of the new emergency manager, but last I checked, we had like 2 or 3 years of money socked away. And I'm not sure how far in advance you can roll that forward, but you know, it's certainly a possibility that if we put money into any kind of fire mitigation that we could roll that forward.
Thank you. Do we have any, I can't remember, did we have any money in our code enforcement this year?
I don't think so, no. It's somewhat covered in some of the budget, you know, for staff that we've approved. So planning and zoning and also the code enforcement positions that we brought on, one in the travel council and one in the sheriff's department. But as far as, you know, money for like cleanup type stuff, we didn't budget anything this year for that.
Thank you. Mark Markham, did you have more to add or did you want TJ to speak?
Well, I believe Bill Holtz might have something to say. Bill, are you still there?
Yeah. You know, I just want to echo what Orion and Mark said. Thompson's kind of been forgotten about for years and years and years. Code enforcement to date has only been complaint driven. There just haven't been the staff or the time to do a comprehensive kind of plan like we're talking about here. But I think it's due. I think that Thompson is going to become, you know, kind of a bedroom community for Grand County, where we have a lot of employees moving out that way, because they can't afford to live here in town. So I think it is important to do some cleanup, not just with the fire, but with health and life safety. We've got a lot of people out there living in vehicles and broken down campers and other things, not to mention the abandoned buildings that we're talking about and the refuse and debris and overgrown brush. So I think it is about time we try to put together a plan to figure out how to work with the community to get these issues solved, rather than just write a bunch of letters and start strong-arming people into compliance. I think if we could get that meeting together just to get boots on the ground and really get an idea of what we're talking about, you know, in my point of view, I have no problem writing code enforcement letters to abandoned properties to gain compliance. I have a little hesitation about writing code enforcement letters to properties that are being lived in that don't have the means to comply, let alone keep a decent roof over their head. I know we had another talk about a property out there, and there, Mary, I think you talked about some resources that were available to help people get into housing or get some grant money to help them bring their property into compliance. So we're kind of hoping that we could get with the commission members and the community action team to kind of go out and just assess what the situation is on the ground and start working on compliance, but also look at the overall picture. As Orion said, the lot lines out there don't line up with what's on the ground. We have road right-of-ways that go through the middle of people's properties. Most of the area is zoned range and grazing when we have lots that are as small as 0.2 acres. So when that range and grazing zoning was instilled out there, it instantly made most of the town non-conforming. So I think it needs to have not only a general cleanup effort, but also an effort to clean up some of those property lines. I know Lucas started working on that, Lucas Blake, the surveyor, and talking with Mila about maybe trying to do a comprehensive rezone and allow people's properties to come into compliance. If we're going to tell them they have to bring their property into compliance, but they don't meet the zoning regulations and they can't come into compliance, we're kind of throwing bricks at the wall. So I think it needs to be a comprehensive plan to get into Thompson and start looking at bringing some compliance together. The code enforcement portions we can get started on right away as we're working on the other portions of it. But I do think Mark's right that we do need to start getting a handle on it out there before things get too far out of control and we end up with a bigger mess than we have.
One thing that I'd like to add to that and reiterate is the working with the town. I think that it would be very important to the town for us to hold some sort of a town hall meeting. Obviously COVID's an issue, but a town hall meeting to make sure that that they have a say, that the people have a say. There's a lot of good folks out there that are trying to clean up their properties and do a good job. There's a few other properties where people just can't do it or don't want to. But we had a cleanup effort out there several years ago with an illegal dump that had formed. And I held a town hall meeting out there with folks and 30 people showed up in a town of 40 people. That's pretty good turnout. And we ended up, people brought together their own personal heavy equipment and stuff. And we got up there and cleaned that up and it was wonderful. And so I think we need to take that sort of approach. And I think that everybody on the community action team feels that way as well.
I think it would be good to get a hold of ALG, Association of Local Governments, because there are a lot of funds that Grand County hasn't been taken advantage of that helps low-income people replace roofs or become more energy efficient. So before we have that meeting, I'll make sure I find out about that, or the person who ends up taking Jay Lynn's place on that committee can find out, because there are monies there. Anything else?
Yeah, so something I think I may have forgotten to add was that law enforcement, I believe two Grand County Sheriff's deputies came out pretty quick out to the fire, and also a UHP officer, and they're all great help. Talking to Orion, I think Deputy Josh Honor might have wanted to say something today. Josh, are you still there? He might have got called away then. And then I'd also be a team effort. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think we just need to make the first step finally and look at this long term. And it looks like we're forming a pretty good team here, so I'm pretty pleased about that. I'd like to let TJ, Chief Brewer, speak if you'd like to say anything about it out here.
I can speak on that for a minute. My hat's off to Mark. He saved a few structures out there that night, so good job, Mark. We ended up sending 17 firefighters, 6 engines, 4 of them main lines, a water tender, and a command truck. And then the next day we sent 2 engines out and 8 personnel out there the next day. And we also dispatched an ambulance. That's our protocol. call and got Rocky Mountain Power out there to help with that fire. I do believe, again, when you commend Mark, you have to look at him, and Mark's not really a fire department. He's a firefighter. When you look at a fire department, it has multiple personnel, multiple engines. So the fire end of it's definitely an issue. When you get out there and look at it from a fire perspective, you look at the fuel load. And I think that's kind of what this meeting is all about. The fuel load out there is pretty intense. And listening to Mark on the radio, it reminded me a little bit of a cinema court situation. Thank God we didn't have that issue. But it very well could be if this fuel load keeps up and we don't do something about it. We're more than willing to help. We're definitely busy. When I send that many engines and firefighters out of my district, it leaves my district pretty unprotected for the most part. So I have a hard time sending those that many engines out there. But we're more than willing to help on that community action team as much as we can. Let us know what we can do. Any questions for me?
Thank you, TJ. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you. We are a little bit early, but I really appreciate it, Mark. And was your hand okay? Because wasn't your hand quite injured during the fire?
Yeah, it got hurt pretty bad. I had x-rays. It wasn't broken, just crushed. So it's still swollen, but it's about 80% now. So that's good.
Good. Do any of the other commissioners have questions?
No, I'll just echo the kudos going around. I'm glad that you were able to do what you could and that things weren't worse. So thanks for all you're doing up there, Mark. And it's even scarier to imagine what it would have been like if we didn't have you on point out there. So thanks a bunch.
Thank you, Evan.
Yes, Kevin, did you have your hand raised?
Yeah, I just had a question. I don't know if this is for Orion or Mark or both, but I was just curious what the main challenges in getting cleanup done in Thompson is. Is it that a lot of people don't want to do it or aren't able to do it, or is it more just getting the funding to, to get dumpsters and things like that out there? I mean, is it more a political issue or a resources issue?
I would say primarily resources. There's going to be a few properties that are even more political, but I know of a number of properties that if there were dumpsters and whatnot available, that they would be helping clean up. And I know that the neighbors would help other people clean up too.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I just wanted to add one more thing that I thought of that maybe the council members don't know, that Mark works at the airport. If there's a fire when he's at work, it's an even bigger problem.
Yes. Well, I know there's talk about annexing and making more fire department cover more of the counties to help with the revenue and also to, improve firefighting throughout the county. So look forward to working on that. Any other questions? Okay, we have completed our agenda. So if I have no one objecting, I will adjourn this meeting. Are there any objections?